Amen. That was a prayer. I hope you discipline yourself to pray as you sing. We have to work at that. I have to consciously do that. Engage in praying while our worship music is indeed a prayer. All the psalms were prayers, weren't they? Absolutely. Many of the psalms were prayers. You do not have to be a formal member of this church to join us this evening. If you're a regular attender of Sovereign Grace Bible Church, you're very welcome to join with us this evening for our congregational meeting. We're a month behind. It's February the 14th. And that's the first time that has happened in 22 years. And I've not been sick or ill. But we're grateful to have reached this point where we can do this evening. Okay, we interrupted our series on the book of Acts to do a topical series. And we'll return to the book of Acts when we finish this. I'm kind of developing my outline as we go and developing the content as we go. We're focused on thinking about how to live as believers in a culture that's becoming more and more corrupt. And we've been dealing with 13 concepts. And on the back of your outline, I believe, you can see the forest from the trees. And once we develop these 13 concepts, then we are going to apply them. We're going to base our applications on those 13 concepts that are outlined there in the back of your bulletin. I realize it's a ponderous outline, but some subjects are ponderous subjects. And if it's a ponderous subject, it deserves a ponderous outline. And you know, God has given you a mind that's good enough if you apply it, you have a mind that's good enough to grapple with some subjects that are somewhat large. Well, last week we considered our 10th concept, which was special revelation. And that is that God does reveal his mind to us. It is possible for us as human beings to know the mind of God. We can know what God thinks about certain subjects. We can know what God thinks about our own personal lives. Now, is that scary? Or is that a blessing? Depends whether you're reconciled or not with him. If you're reconciled with him, to know that God knows, that we can know what God thinks about us, is a wonderful thing. If we're not reconciled with him, it's a scary thing. So that's what we mean by revelation, that it's possible for the mind of man to know the mind of God. Not exhaustively, but truthfully. We believe in revelation. Many people don't believe in that anymore, but we do. Okay, so that's the subject of revelation, that God does reveal his mind to us. We call this special revelation to distinguish it from natural revelation. The law of God is an expression which, in the broadest sense, means all of Scripture. And all of Scripture is special revelation. Psalm 19, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You and I are the simple, and it's the Lord who can testify to us. That certainly means we must be able to understand him, doesn't it? God himself testifies to our minds. And when we receive it, we become wise. That's a wonderful thing. I don't know about you, but I was born a fool. And you know what? I know about you too. Because Scripture says, what is bound up in the heart of a child? foolishness. Okay, so let's just be humbled and be grateful. Like the psalmist prays in Psalm 25, good is the Lord. Therefore, He instructs sinners in the way. Out of God's benevolent goodness, He instructs people like you and me. What a good God He is. And He's given us special revelation that reaches right down into each of our personal lives so that we do no longer have to walk in darkness but have the light of life in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's revelation. Special revelation. Special revelation also comes to us in a person. The Christ whom Scripture reveals is the height of special revelation. The incarnation of the Son of God is the pinnacle of God revealing Himself. The incarnation is a massive revelatory event in human history. None greater. None greater than the incarnation. At Jesus' birth, Simeon prophesying about the child that he was holding, he says he's a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of God's people Israel. Jesus often referred to His mission in revelatory terms, especially in the Gospel of John. I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in Me should not abide in darkness. Revelatory terms. And just as we saw that natural revelation is clear, unambiguous, so special revelation is many times clearer to those who are privileged to be exposed to it. Although special revelation is clear and demonstrates that God has taken the initiative to pursue reconciliation with us, mankind rejects special revelation just as he does natural revelation. Light has come into the world, but men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil, John 3:19. So if all men suppress special revelation, are we doomed? No, because of concept 13, special grace. And that's the only reason we're not doomed. But it's a sure reason. So our 13th concept is special grace is sent along with special revelation and overcomes our rejection and reconciles us to God. Special grace. Romans 5, 6 through 10. Turn there. Special grace. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Remember, when we were enemies, the natural mind is enmity against God. For it does not subject itself to what? What's the evidence of the enmity? It does not. How do I know that man's natural mind is hostile toward God? How do I know that? How do you explain when you're witnessing to someone that, you know, you're an enemy of God? Me? I'm not an enemy of God. How do you prove to them they're enemies of God and they're hostile? Because they will not subject themselves to the law of God. That's the evidence of the hostility. And guess what? Special grace has taken that away and reconciled us to God. Reconciliation to God changes both parties. The wrath of God that abides judicially, righteously upon us is replaced with the love and blessing of God, and the sinner's hostility against this God is removed. That's biblical reconciliation. It affects both parties. That's important, and that's a bigger sidetrack. But biblical reconciliation affects both parties. And both parties drop their hostility. God's hostility is righteous. Our hostility is unrighteous. And where does that reconciliation happen? It happens at the foot of the cross, when the sinner is melted by the reality that God loves him at this awesome cost to give his son to redeem me. That is what slays my hostility. That's the gospel experience. A recognition of that love and mercy breaks down my hostility against God, expressed in being a rebel. So we're all here, right here in Romans 5. That is special grace. How do we get from Romans 8:7, hostile toward God, will not subject to the law of God, to Psalm 19, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb? How does a human heart transition from Romans 8:7 to Psalm 19? Special grace. That law, which I hated, that authority of God over me, which I found distasteful, now it is sweet as honey. Special grace. Isn't that right? That's right. If you're converted, you know what I'm talking about. And then even the sinner, while we're struggling with all of our sin, Romans 7, we can say, the law is what? Holy, just, and good. Okay? That's special grace. Reconciliation. Reconciliation to special revelation. No longer rejecting, we will not have this man rule over us. No longer rejecting the light, but coming to the light. We now accept special revelation because of God's special grace. Romans 5, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Special grace. Now, since we have been having a sustained focus on Revelation in these studies, I will follow God's grace as operating through the Holy Spirit here this morning. God's grace operates in many ways, but we're talking about Revelation, and the dear Holy Spirit is the central agent in Revelation. So we're going to follow this special grace down the track of the work of the Holy Spirit as we're talking about special grace. Now, that any of us drops our hostility to revelation of both kinds and repents of our autonomy, I'm using our 13 concepts from this point forward. I'm just going to use those terms that we've spent time defining going forward. That any of us drops our hostility to the revelation of both kinds and repents of our autonomy, that is, insisting on defining good and evil for ourselves, is due to the special grace of the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us personally the true God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Nathaniel read it for us in the scripture reading. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this world has blinded, who do not believe, lest they see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Now, what is that a reference to? Creation. Okay, we're back in Genesis. God, there is a God, and He commanded light to shine out of darkness. It was an omnipotent, a powerful, creative act. Okay, I don't know about you, but I can't bring light out of darkness. Darkness is the opposite of light. Nobody but God can do that. So Paul goes back to the creation of the physical heavens and earth to teach us a grand spiritual truth of how special revelation comes to a darkened human heart. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This objective revelation in the Word of God that describes Christ, this objective revelation in the person of Christ, suddenly becomes subjectively real in the human heart. I'm not a neo-Orthodox theologian. Some of you know what I mean. The objective revelation exists there on the pages of Scripture for all to see. But the process of revelation is not complete until the God who caused light to shine out of darkness looks at my human soul and says, let there be a true knowledge of myself revealed in Jesus in your soul. Boom! And there it is. That's revelation. That's special grace, bringing the revelation home to a darkened human heart. That God has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God. How? in the face of his Son. You see that? When the Holy Spirit works, what people talk about is Jesus Christ. When you get a revelation by the Holy Spirit, you start seeing the glory of God in the face of his Son. And you begin singing louder. You begin loving this music that we're singing. As we sing about the glory of the Son. This is special grace. Bringing home special revelation. 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24. Special grace following the thread, to use that term, of the Holy Spirit's work. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 through 24. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, that's right, God is in the process of bringing down the proud, and all of the world's wisdom is going to be shown to be folly before this thing is over. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached. Oh, there's some neat things going on here. It pleased God. There's some mockery going on here of the world, okay, and of the proud Corinthians who are so wise. Yeah, I just brought some foolishness to you guys. You know, I know how wise you are. But, you know, God's going to save fools by other fools. And God's going to save fools by a foolish message. And when he does that, he's going to show how big of a fool you have been if you haven't believed and repented. You get down to the end of the chapter. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God. That shows you how smart the world is. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Greeks, foolishness. Yes, there you have the rejection of special revelation, don't you? Many Jews stumble at Messiah crucified. I'll hear nothing of it. Not my Messiah. Greeks say, a foolishness. The rejection of special revelation. Are we doomed? No, because of special grace. Something else enters into the scene. But to those who are called by God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, Christ crucified suddenly becomes the power of God unto salvation. And the wisdom of God to the Greek. Revelation brought home by special grace. So, yes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, much conviction. What he means by that is they believed it with conviction. Our gospel came to you with much conviction. They heard the gospel and they heard it and they listened to it and they said, this is true. It came with much conviction. It did not come in word only. That conviction, that personal conviction that God has revealed Himself in Jesus Christ, that revelatory reception is only the work of the Holy Spirit. Our gospel did not come in word only. They preached a perfect gospel. The gospel we preach can be the perfect words. And yet, it can come in word only. To the Jew, a stumbling block. To the Gentile, foolishness. But to the call, it comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it comes with full conviction. This is the Reformed doctrine of the Spirit's testimony to the Word of God. Ultimately, the Spirit testifies and the Word of God is self-authenticating. Okay, you theologians, that's what this is. This is an example of that in practice. This is how it works. It came in much assurance by the power of the Holy Spirit, and so forth. And you became followers and turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. So, this is what we mean by special grace. And the special grace of the works of the Holy Spirit in regard to the reception of special revelation. Now, the Holy Spirit supervises and enables this entire special revelation chain. The Holy Spirit moves men to speak the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, we read this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This entire chain of special revelation is the Holy Spirit's department on this project. You know, different people have different responsibilities on the big project. On the big project of saving us, this is the Holy Spirit's assignment. It's all bound up with special revelation. And the Holy Spirit carried along these men to prophesy, to bring the Word of God. A human element carried along by the Holy Spirit to bring prophecy, to bring the words of God in human language. In human language. Right? Objective human language. Some of you might know why I'm emphasizing that so much. Because revelation is objective and it is understandable. We call that the clarity of Scripture, the clarity of the revelation. The Holy Spirit carried men along to prophesy. Now notice Peter refers to Scripture. That no prophecy, those are the words of Scripture. Men have been carried along by the Holy Spirit, and their prophecy, which is the Word of God, has been written. So at the time of the writing of 2 Peter, Paul helps us understand that these words of God that we call prophecy are being inscripturated. They're being written down. Old and New Testaments. And there's your special revelation produced by the Holy Spirit in human language. Got it? No prophecy of Scripture. Scripture means writing, okay? The Greek term means writing. The Holy Spirit empowers Christ's servants to speak the word of God. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. So now this revelation is going to be brought to the nations. And it's the Holy Spirit that enables the church to do that very task. And so what happens? You and I become what? The light of the world. You and I become the very instruments empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring this revelation to our neighbors. That's what we're supposed to be doing. The Holy Spirit empowers Christ's servants to speak the word of God. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We, by faith, appropriate the Father's gracious gift, that is His Son. When we hear the Word of God, special revelation, under the blessing of the Holy Spirit, we appropriate the Father's gift of the Son, and we're saved. We repent of our sinful pursuit of autonomous knowledge, and we realize that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. And Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet, suddenly describes us. Isn't that wonderful? I love that in the Gospels. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. And Luke says, listening to His word. Right there. Amen. Yep. We repent of our sinful pursuit of autonomous knowledge, and the simple become wise by the Word of God, blessed by the Spirit of God. And we realize that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. To leave Christ out is to know nothing aright. You can study that universe. You can study that strand of DNA. You can do calculus. You can do logic and rhetoric. And to leave Christ out is not to know any of those things aright. That's right. That's a Christian epistemology. And the hymn says it. There's one of these beautiful hymns. It says, ever since I was converted, the heavens look different. Every hue, every shade, some of you folks are nodding your head, you know that hymn. That hymn describes that experience. Suddenly, I know these things like I've never known them before. That's right. That's right. Special grace bringing home special revelation. And we say, amen to the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, you can graciously tell your unconverted friends, you know, you don't know anything aright. We need to witness this way in this postmodern generation. You are like, you know, Plato's guys living down in the cave. You know, I mean, Plato was grappling with it, right? This is wonderful stuff. That God knows how to talk. And He knows how to talk to us. Abba, Father. That's how we respond, right? That's the work of the Holy Spirit, by the way. It's the Spirit that testifies in our hearts that we are the children of God. Okay. The Holy Spirit does this work. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And why shouldn't it be? God is the ultimate knower, correct? He knows everything. And He's willing to talk to us face to face. In these last days, God has spoken to us in His Son. And He speaks from heaven on the Mount of Transfiguration and says, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And I have one task for you. Listen to Him. Hear Him." Clarity of special revelation. God sent His Son into this world to have a conversation with you and with me. What a wonderful conversation it is. Special revelation brought home by special grace of the Holy Spirit. He's spoken to us in His Son. "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So, under the banner of special, amazing grace, we are to proclaim God's special revelation to the ends of the earth. We become the light of the world. And that leads to another question, which I'm not going to do. Special revelation brought home by special grace. We need to understand these things. And we need to base how we feel and what we do individually and as a church on this understanding of what's going on. Even in our culture. And what is our role in the midst of this corrupt culture? You already see where I'm going as to what our role really is. And it's going to have a lot to do with bringing special revelation to a dying culture. That's right. Let's pray. Father, You are a good God. We know You as the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Your Son. And Father, we thank You for the Holy Spirit and sending Him to us. And Lord Jesus, we thank You for sending the blessed third member of the Trinity to shine light and to bring understanding and power and grace, to shed abroad a Savior's love in our hearts. We who were enemies, we who would not even want to go out on a date if You came and courted us. Oh Lord, how You've courted us and saved us. Thank You for loving us while we were helpless and enemies. What can we say, Lord? We wish You would reveal Your glory to us as Moses prayed, in a greater measure. We're grateful and thankful for so much that You have done. But Lord, we know we've seen only part of Your ways. We know, we've read, Lord, of Your works of old. We don't see those works any longer in our nation. We don't see those works even in our families, Lord. Come and reveal yourself in your Son in new and more powerful ways by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.